Thank you. Now, I thought that we would do a little quiz together. We're going to have a go at our space quiz, see how well we know our planets. So I think we'll do our children and young people against adults. That's okay. We've got some planets, a couple of options. We'll have a little vote and see how well we do. So children and young people first. It's up to you if you consider yourself a young person or not. We will not set a limit there. But children and young people, is this Mars or Venus? So children and young people, if you think that's Mars, could you touch your nose? If you think it's Venus, would you touch your elbow? And then I'll see what most of you are voting for. So children, young people, Mars or Venus? So let's have a look. What have we got? We've got quite a few, probably touching noses. So children and young people have voted for Mars, and it is Mars, so 1-0. Right, so adults, is this one Pluto or Jupiter? We'll just do a vote for adults. So adults, hands up for Pluto. Hands up for Jupiter. Adults definitely think that's one's Jupiter, and they are right. Well done. So 1-1. Children and young people, and I've got to be very careful with how I pronounce this. Is this Neptune or Uranus? Neptune or Uranus. So children and young people, touch your head if you think it's Neptune and touch your bottom if you think it's Uranus. I think most people, fortunately, are touching their heads. It was indeed Neptune. So 2-1 to our children and young people. So adults, you need this one. Venus or Mercury? So adults, hands up for Venus. Hands up for Mercury. Wow, the adults are so decisive here. Are they right? Yes, they are. Well done. 2-2. Final rounds. Children and young people. Saturn or Pluto? So, children and young people, could you touch your knees for Saturn or could you scratch your head for Pluto? So, touch your knees or scratch your head. Definitely a lot of knee touching going on. So, well done. That's 3. Perfect score for the children, young people. So adults, is this one Venus or is it Proximo, the sole planet of Proxima Centauri? What do you think? Adults, vote for Venus. Vote for Proximo. Now, I think I've got you there because I've got a blurry one on Venus. So, children and young people, you are the winners of our space quiz. Well done. Excellent. We will come back to that a little bit later on. There was a reason for that. Any children here who would like to come and help by doing a picture of something from God's creation, would you come out to the front now? We've got some cards, we've got some felt tips down here, and what we need is pictures of anything to do with creation. It might be your favourite animals, it might be... Christian, can you take those? It might be a mountain, it might be a beach... It could be some trees, some flowers. Come on out, come on out. Some paper there, some felt there. Sarah's going to help if we need a bit of help there as well. And we need some pictures of creation. And we're going to use those in our prayers in a few minutes' time. Christian, can you make sure everyone's got a pen up the front here and a piece of paper? That would be wonderful. So if you do that, while I'm just start carrying on with a few thoughts about this passage. So... Psalm 19. Well, the Psalms are very rich, aren't they? They're very varied. They've got shouts of praise, expressions of confidence. Sometimes we have cries of distress, prayers for help. All these can be found in those 150 Psalms. They reflect the whole of life lived out in relationship with God. Over the next 4 weeks in our Sunday morning children's groups, we're actually going to be looking at 4 of these Psalms, which is why we thought it'd be really good to share with you today the first one. Psalm 19, today, that rejoices in a God who speaks through creation. That fits in really well, doesn't it, with this eco-church day that we have today. Psalm 20, which we're going to be doing next week in our children's groups, is a prayer of victory. Psalm 22 is a cry for help from someone who's not in the best position, but we see how God helps them. And of course, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, is this brilliant affirmation of a God who provides and protects. So what we're going to hope the children do in the next few weeks is enter into the world of the writers, not just with their minds, but with emotions and imagination. How far do we feel with the person who wrote these psalms? To what extent are we going to let the words stimulate our imagination, stir our emotions? Maybe there's even a challenge for everyone here when we read the psalms. You know, do we enter into them? Do we understand what the writer is saying? Do we see how they're communicating with God through those words? And in this psalm, David writes about how all of creation explains God's great works. God created the world, so we should praise him. And likewise, God's world that he created us is perfect. And this, of course, is mirrored by what John says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And C.S. Lewis thinks that this is an amazing psalm, one of the greatest poems, some of the greatest lyrics, is how he declares Psalm 19. So it would be good, I think, to explore this psalm together. It's composed of amazing poetry, amazing words. It's made even more special, I think, by some strategies that the psalmist used. He used some phrases to help us understand even more about God. It's actually, the technical term is parallel phrases. You get information repeated in different lines. What happens is, in the original Hebrew, you have a noun and a verb, and then a verb and then a noun. And this, apparently, I'm not a language expert at all, but it creates amazing poetry and adds to the effect of proclaiming God's message. It's a brilliant example of God using an ordinary person to explain and expand on ordinary things. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. What amazing words we have. And this psalm seems to have two different parts. The first section talks about the glory of God as seen in creation. The second section talks more about God's words and how that can be of benefit to us. It's really interesting if you look at the psalm. In the first seven verses, God is used as the name of God, whereas in the second part of the psalm, it uses the word Lord to speak of God. I think that's really interesting because it splits this psalm up to help us understand, talking about the God of creation, the God who created the world, but then also talking about the Lord who gives us the word, gives us what we need. And actually also in the psalm, you have a different style of writing in the first two parts. The first half has longer phrases, the second half has shorter phrases. But these are apparent differences, actually, are really held together because this psalm is talking to us about what it means to be part of God's family, what it means to celebrate God's creation, what it means to know God's word, and I think what it means to know God's word through Jesus. I think that's where it's leading us. See, this psalm proclaims a powerful message concerning the existence of God and how wonderful he is. It's a message for everyone who lives on earth because it's a message that's being announced day by day by the sun, by the moon, by the stars. Yet perhaps it's an incomplete message because it doesn't have the details about the God who created it. In order to know who God is, how he relates to us, then, and also how we should live our lives, we also need to turn to his word, we need to use scripture, and we need to turn to Jesus. Creation calls us to reflect the glory of God. We can do this through our words, through our actions, through our relationships, through the schools that we go to, through our home, through our work. Maybe this is a challenge for us as well on our Eco Church Day. How can we reflect God's glory? The glory revealed in creation and explained through Jesus. How can we reflect that in our daily lives? Now, earlier on, we had that space quiz, which, who won, by the way, the space quiz? You. Okay, well done. Well, haven't we all at one time or another looked up at the sky at night, being amazed by the immense sight of twinkling stars? As far as the eye can see, for as long as we can stand gazing, there are wonders to behold in the night sky, aren't there? For anyone who will take time to stop and look. Isn't this a testimony of how God created the universe? It's good to allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by this, to spend time thinking of our God, our Creator God, to know that the universe doesn't revolve around us, but around the one who created us. And then we can continue with awe, admiring the fact that this Creator chose to communicate with us, as the second half of this psalm says, through his word, and of course, through the life of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus there in the beginning. The Holy Spirit there in the beginning. That's how we can communicate with this amazing Creator God. The psalm that we read today helps us to praise God. It encourages us to care for his wonderful creation. But even more exciting than that, I would say, it tells us about knowing God, and we can know God personally by inviting Jesus into our lives. That's what the parents and godparents of William have done this morning, isn't it? They've said they want to invite Jesus into the life of William. Perhaps that's something we can be thinking about for ourselves today. Many of us will have done that other times in our lives. Maybe there's people here who have never thought about doing that. Perhaps that can be a challenge of this psalm today for us as well, to invite Jesus, the one who shows us the way to God, into our lives, so we can celebrate God's wonderful creation and know that God made this world for us to be in relationship with us. Do speak to Simon or me or any of the team here if you'd like to think a little bit more about making that choice to follow Jesus this morning.